You want to make your fantasy sports league more than a fantasy? Then you need Trophy Smack.
It's the number one store for fantasy and tournament trophies, belts, draft boards, loser awards, and other ridiculous products.
Trophy Smack is more than just a trophy company with outstanding customer service and products. It's the very essence and heart of every fantasy league. And if you click now, TrophySmack.com gives you free shipping, a free loser poster, and can have the hardware to you in a few days, bragging rights included. Go to TrophySmack.com right now and take your fantasy league to the next level.
Go. It's about to be a jovial 60 minutes, my dude. And you hear right now, what you gonna hear right now?
Name change.
Of all the places, and you hear right now, what you gonna hear right now?
Name change.
Of all the places. Been with the dynasty, but does she like me? Feel like a plumber sleeping, now that's a pipe dream. For the right fee, I might be entitled to the title. Be on top like the cherry of an ice cream. Sundays, that's the one day I can complain, never complain. Cause I know the boys gon' drop a pod, prop up my squad so I can talk a lot. But here we go again, it's a new year. Rookies flowing in, it's some new tears. Who here to do fear? Bounce bells off of their chest like boutonnieres. It's a new era. Happy hour, yeah. Let me ask you this, are you trying to get picks? Are you trying to get rich? Are you trying to get ships? Then you're trying to get this. And you hear right now, what you gonna hear right now?
Name change.
Of all the places. And you hear right now, what you gonna hear right now?
Name change.
Of all the places.
Anyways, welcome on into Dynasty Happy Hour. We have another show coming at you. Oh, and I am subscribed to our YouTube channel, by the way. Yes, that's right. Dynasty Happy Hour does have a YouTube channel that we are live on currently. So yes, get excited for that. But anyways, we're coming at you with the recap. I almost said the rehab report. We're coming at you with the recap with Taylor over here. We're going to recap everything that happened week 16. It is championship week. Some people, man, they're going through some bad beats. You know, some people, they ended up winning the whole thing pretty much after all the guys that went off. And honestly, like there's at least one roster out there that has to have like Tom Brady, that has to have Mike Evans. You know, they have to have Alvin Kamara, Gaskin. Like they had to have everybody that went off this week, right? Like there has to be one team. Right, Taylor?
Yeah, it's kind of weird too, because in addition to those guys that you mentioned, kind of obvious. I guess Gaskin was kind of, you know, surprising, but you've got the David Johnsons of the world putting up almost 30 points. You have Andy Dalton turning the clock back to something he's never done before. I mean, he's at almost 400 yards passing. You've got other guys too that you wouldn't necessarily expect, that if you plug them into a lineup, if you were brave enough or if you had to because you were in dire straits championship weekend, you might have gotten rewarded with some huge performances from some unlikely players as well.
It's insane. Like I'm sitting here looking at the reports and everybody going across the top and I'm like, wait, this isn't right. Like this is not the top performance from this week. I mean, it's absolutely insane. Like how, you know, some of these guys have absolutely just smashed this week. And I mean, some people had to step up because of absences to certain people, but it's insane. So we're going to recap all of that. But before we do, Taylor, where can we find you? How do we get a hold of you? And how do we know that you're qualified to actually be doing this live report?
You just have to take my word that I am qualified, I guess. But you can find me out on Twitter at _TaylorCornell and some of my written work sporadically out at Fantasy Football Intervention. Some of the videos on Fantasy Football Intervention YouTube. My son is passing out hard hats to me right now from his birthday party. So am I qualified? Who knows? But I'm happy to be here with you nonetheless.
No, it's something I swear, man. Who knows who's qualified, right? We're just out here to have a good time. We're out here to talk fantasy. And, you know, you and I, we spend a little bit more time than the average fan actually gets to spend watching football and trying to dissect what actually happened. So we've been doing this now. This is, what, our eighth week or so? And I believe, what, our final week of the season, unless Tyler actually has us going to the playoffs. Don't know if that's going to happen or not. But
maybe.
you know, we'll see what happens with it. Anyways, this should be one of our final weeks of the regular season, at least. And it's the best week because it's championship week and we get to recap it. So I cannot be more excited to do this. Let's go ahead and dive into this. And instead of sitting there and talking about game by game type scenarios, I want to talk about, you know, some of the surprises on the week and some of like the big time names that ended up performing at a high end level, you know, levels that we actually didn't really see coming right off the bat. And we'll start it out with, you know, the games that happened on Friday and on Saturday. And God, I mean, do you want to start out with Alvin Kamara in the 6-touchdown game?
Yeah, well, we were talking before we hit live that I didn't actually get to watch any of the games on Christmas Eve. So I missed the historic performance from him, but I luckily wasn't going against him in any leagues, nor do I unfortunately have him on any of my teams. But I mean, it sounds like he's one Taysom Hill rush away from NFL history, 7 touchdowns. I mean, who would have thought that New Orleans puts up 52 points and Breeze has 2 interceptions, no touchdowns. So it was kind of weird. I guess, you know, if you look at the final score and you see a 50 burger up there for New Orleans, you would think, you know, Drew Breeze went off. If Michael Thomas was playing, you would have thought he had a huge game. And instead it was basically just Alvin Kamara. And that's about it for fantasy.
That was literally it. That was all it was. Period. The end. You know, and at least Latavius Murray went with my prediction where he was safe. But, you know, now I'm not going to spend a ton of time covering Saturday's games because you probably already heard the recap from that. But Miles Gaskin went off. We had Tom Brady go off. Godwin had a good week. Mike Evans went off, though. I mean, he was the one to own. Was there any shocker in there that you really didn't see coming?
Not necessarily. I mean, I guess I wouldn't have expected, I thought the Buccaneers would beat the Lions. I didn't know it was going to be a drubbing like that. But Tom Brady, you know, poured it on in 2 quarters of play, and then Blaine Gabbert picked up where Brady left off. And I don't know exactly. I don't know if you have it pulled up where Gabbert finished as for the week in QB rankings, but I think he had at least in my league where it's 6-point passing touchdowns. He had like 19 points or something. So I guess in 4-point passing touchdowns, he'd been like 15. So it was like decent for a quarterback, and he only played a half as well. That was the only thing that was really surprising. Kittle, you know, I don't know if we wanted to get into any, you know, bets that were made on Twitter or anything like that. It was not surprising to me that Kittle came in after an extended absence and picks up where he left off, 90 plus yards receiving. I didn't think there was anything too out of the ordinary. I think Brandon Ayuk might have been the biggest stinker from the Saturday games. He'd been on quite a stretch the last month or so and then tapered off and only had one catch on Saturday.
Well, let's go ahead and let's bring up, you know, since we're going to bounce over to from Saturday over Sunday, let's go ahead and bring up some of these top performers because it was absolutely insane. Like just some of the stuff you saw. I mean, Andy Dalton, right? Tom Brady, Derek Carr from the Saturday games. But Andy Dalton is looking like he's going to be the top performer this week up against the Eagles, which I don't think anybody really saw coming or started him this week. You know, we saw Deshaun Watson, which I thought that game would actually be the highest scoring game. But I really didn't expect Brandon Allen to do as well as he did. I mean, Brandon Allen sitting there looking at quarterback 6 so far in the week. Is that shocking you at all?
Yeah, I tweeted during the game, just from a non-fantasy perspective, Bengals fandom, I somehow have now talked myself into Brandon Allen being a competent backup. I thought after Burrow, you know, that was going to be a huge hit, and it was. I mean, Allen is obviously a downgrade, but surprisingly, he's done pretty well. And then today's game was the real icing on the cake with 371 yards. You mentioned nobody really starting Dalton. I'm going up against him in a championship matchup, so imagine that. I'm going up against Dalton and David Johnson, who I'm like, this is like, he's starting an all-star squad from like 2015, 2016, and it's going to be close.
It blows my mind. Absolutely blows my mind. I did not see that coming whatsoever. I did, however, see the David Johnson thing coming. You know, I thought it was going to be a high-scoring game. I didn't see 31.8 points coming from Brandon Allen, at least in the league that I'm looking at currently. But, man, David Johnson absolutely did some crazy work. You know, sitting there looking at it, he's running back 4 or so in the week, pending, you know, your league scoring. He's right behind the Samaje Perine, who was also in the same game. So with Samaje Perine getting 95 yards and 2 touchdowns, is this something that we need to keep an eye out for?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it was, if somehow you had to start Perine, I think more people were probably starting Gio Bernard, who also returned a pretty decent fantasy day. Most of his came through the air. I don't think this is what we've seen with the Bengals is when Mixon is healthy, that he's getting the lion's share of the work, regardless of how efficient or sometimes inefficient he is. The Bengals are a team that I'm just not very interested in any of their backups at the running back position. So they've got P. Ryan, who's flashed. Gio's been there forever. And then even Trevion Williams has gotten some run the last few weeks, which we hadn't seen yet in his career. But I just don't think that once Mixon's active that they're going to get a whole lot of work behind him. But to the point of David Johnson, the fact that he I'm not into the yards per carry too much, but 10 yards a pop, but he only got 12 carries today. I think he ripped off like a 40 or 50 yard run and another like 30 yard run.
Yeah.
But he was killing the Bengals linebackers. And it was surprising that Houston didn't stick with the run a little bit more. And I think he really could have had an even bigger day than what we saw out of David Johnson.
It's something that's like, God, it's so frustrating because you have Johnson all year and, you know, he's giving you bare minimum and then all of a sudden he goes out and blows up in championship week. And most of these rosters probably don't have David Johnson on them. But the ones that did, congratulations on the production that you got from David Johnson. So when we sit there and we look at it, you know, JD McKissick's producing. You know, we have Giovanni Bernard. We have, Gus Edwards, right? We've got Latavius Murray. Like, are any of these backups worth trying to go grab in Dynasty?
It's funny, you know, the names you're mentioning, who would have thought at the beginning of 2020 that any of these guys really would have been too relevant. Yeah. But here we are in week 16 and they're doing at least something. I mean, I think Murray is always one that I've been interested in as a backup. He was somewhat effective when he was in Minnesota. Since he's been in New Orleans last couple seasons, when he's had to either been forced into a larger workload because of injury or something, or even just in blowouts where you see him get a lot more work, he's a pretty efficient backup. I've got him on a few of my dynasty rosters, and I don't really ever start him unless I have to. But if you were in a pinch, I think he's usually a fine flex option. I don't know about McKissick. I don't know. You probably watch more Washington than I do. What do you think about him? Because I feel like he's a pretty like low ceiling kind of guy.
I wouldn't even say low ceiling. I just say like, you know, he has to see, you know, some sort of volume in order for him to be efficient. And, you know, I feel like he's a placeholder to an extent. So, you know, for the majority of these guys, I'm not trying to go out and buy or anything like that. But Giovanni Bernard at least poses an interesting, you know, I guess, a storyline to his career and his abilities. And I wouldn't be shocked to see him end up with another team in 2021. So that's going to be something to keep an eye out for. Now, is there anybody that stood out to you in the running back category where, you know, you sat there and you were like, man, this guy, I can't believe I didn't start him this week. Like, he absolutely went off. Like, you know, somebody that absolutely shocked you. Or is there somebody that was like, dude, why did I play this guy? I know he wasn't going to go off. What happened? Like, why did I do this to myself?
Sorry, I was on mute. I didn't think the Cleveland running backs necessarily tanked you if you started them, but I feel like if you plugged in Chubb or Hunt, you were probably expecting a little more production than what you got, especially as word came out that the receivers were, none of them were playing. You assumed it was going to be run centric against the Jets. And Kareem Hunt only had 11 yards rushing today. He was saved with a rushing touchdown and then 41 yards receiving, but you know, a double-digit fantasy day is fine if you threw him in your flex. I feel like, though, if you started Hunt or even Chubb, you were probably hoping for closer to like a 20-point PPR day than what they gave you. So I would say those two were a little surprising in their disappointments, even though they didn't necessarily all-out tank.
Yeah, I still feel like you're okay with Nick Chubb. Like, I believe he's going to be top 12 in the week or whatever the case is. But yeah, I mean, my shocker was James Conner. So I messed up big time. Like really bad. And in one of my championship leagues, I'm sitting there and I'm projected to win by 10, but I'm getting nervous, right? Like we're getting close to the line and they're saying that DeForest Buckner's back and that, you know, I'm looking at the stats from James Conner. He wasn't able to run. And I'm like, dude, the Indianapolis Colts, when they have DeForest Buckner, they are so, so good up against the run. Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting there, I'm starting to get nervous. And about 30 seconds, literally, I'm not exaggerating. I'm talking about 30 seconds before 1 o'clock hit. I'm looking at 12:59. I'm like, I need to make a decision. I decided to play Marvin Hall over James Conner.
Oh, wow. How'd that go?
You tell me, because we're obviously on a big Bengals, you know, kick right now. So, yeah. You know, what do you have? Like one catch on two targets for 20 Rough. Yards or something?
Rough.
Oh, God. It was brutal. Like, what happened over there? Why weren't they passing Marvin Hall the ball? This was supposed to be like a Richie James type situation, right? Where there's nobody else available.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I would have expected a little bit more than what he gave you. Oh, I guess either way, it was a dart throw is to what you would get out of him. I think another running back that I was a little surprised by, I'm not starting him anywhere, I don't really own him anywhere, but I thought Melvin Gordon was going to have a bigger day than he did against the Chargers.
This whole game was a giant disappointment for me.
Yeah, I mean, like, it, you know, you look at his box score to have almost 79 rushing yards, nearly five a pop, looks fine, but without any targets, any receptions, any touchdowns, it turns into a pretty a barely flexible type of performance out of Melvin Gordon, who was coming off a few decent outings.
Yeah, and his yards per carry were excellent. Mm-hmm. So frustrating for me because the process was right and the coaching staff just didn't agree. The coaching staff just did not want to run him. And it was so, oh my God, it drove me nuts because they're asking Drew Lock. This is just not the right play call. And this is something that I normally don't see out of Shurmur. Like, I love Pat Shurmur as an offense coordinator. I always have. And this just doesn't feel like his, you know, play calling. It's just very skewed and I don't like it. I think something's going on behind the scenes. That play calling needs to change over there. And, you know, I think Locke could benefit if he's there, you know, come 2021. All right, so let's go ahead and hop over to the wide receiver side. And we saw Mike Evans go off. We saw Michael Gallup go off about damn time because I've been predicting this the whole season pretty much. And, you know, it just hasn't happened. All of a sudden, you know, they play the Philadelphia Eagles and, you know, it happens. And the last time they played, I thought this was going to happen. I came on record saying, hey, Michael Gallup is going to go off because Amari Cooper is going to have to face Darius Slay. But this just is an absurd game overall. I mean, 37-17, right? Like, Dallas goes out there and shuts down Jalen Hurts to an extent. I'm not saying that Jalen Hurts was awful by any stretch of imagination, but he wasn't good. I mean, he finished behind Matt Ryan, Patrick Mahomes, who had a terrible day.
Russell Wilson. 400 yards of total offense is hard to throw.
Yeah, true story. So, you know,
we're touchdown two picks. So, yeah, that kind of hurts his performance at the end of the day for fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, it's still like you're finishing outside the top 12 for quarterbacks. Like, that's not going to win you a championship. But Michael Gallup, is he like a buy at this point? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that stinks is depending on, you know, the person that has Gallup on their roster now, how much they remember this performance come a month from now or 2 months from now when you try to buy your Gallup shares. You would hope that he ended the season with maybe a couple duds to make it easier to pry him away. But, you know, Gallup, I think, is such a hard guy to value because we know he's talented and we've seen him produce. But this season, with, you know, no issues with snap share, you know, he's getting on the field. The issue is target competition a little bit. I mean, he's had a few double digit target games, which, you know, is nice, but it's going to be hard, I feel like, to trust him behind Cooper, behind CD Lamb as a number three option on that team, unless Dak comes back next year and picks up right where he left off, throwing for 500 yards every game. So, I mean, he would be a guy I'd be interested in. His contract probably keeps him in Dallas for another couple years, or just one more year.
Yep, I'm actually looking at it right now. That's what I was looking up.
Yeah, for dynasty purposes, then he would be an interesting guy to get out ahead of and stash in hopes that, you know, he gets a larger opportunity, knowing that you're holding somebody that's talented. You're not holding a complete dart throw. Plus, he has value if any of the guys ahead of him get injured.
Oh, yeah, tremendous expense of value. Mm-hmm. And also, I believe they can move on from Amari Cooper either this year or next year and save, like, you know, $20 million a year in cap space.
Are you saying they will?
Huh?
Are you predicting they will?
No, not yet. Okay. It depends on the whole Dak situation. Like, yeah, you know, I really wanted Trevor Lawrence to land there. And if he did, I thought that they could trade him and move on from that salary cap space. But at this point, I don't know. Now, Juju Smith-Schuster, he is redemption week, right? Like, this was something as to where I was predicting up against Moore that he was going to have this redemption week. You know, and he absolutely did. And we sit there and we see Juju Smith-Schuster's value flex just constantly. And he's, you know, bound to be a free agent come 2021. Does he come back to the Steelers, you think?
I just don't see any way that he comes back to Pittsburgh. Not just from whether Pittsburgh would put an offer out there for him, but I'm not sure that Juju would want to come back if the team is constructed as it currently is. I was flipping between that game and the Cincinnati game, and maybe I'm thinking, you know, reading into things a little too much, but his body language just didn't look good. Like, he looks frustrated running 3 yard digs and drags across the field that are 2 yards deep. I mean, he looks frustrated out there, and rightfully so. So I don't even know, unless they, you know, we're going to break the bank for him, that he necessarily would choose to go back to Pittsburgh. So for the sake of my shares that I have of Juju, I'm hoping that he ends up somewhere else and produces there. He's still only, 24 years old. So, yeah, you predicted a redemption week based on his matchup and, with his defender. I was predicting it just because of a narrative. I was just thinking, you know what? There's been a lot going on, a lot of talk about his dud on Cincinnati. I think they're going to try to get him the ball. And he did see 13 targets today, which was tied for second for season high for him. So they did seek his or look his direction quite often, and he came through with 9 for 96 and a touchdown.
It's not letting me scroll over, but he still didn't break 100 yards, right? It was like 9 for 96. He still does not have a single game of over 100 yards this season. And he has now, what does that make it, like 87 receptions, I think?
Yeah, I don't think he has one since Antonio Brown left town. He didn't have one last year, I don't believe.
Yeah, but that was more, the whole quarterback situation. But still, that's incredible. That's incredible.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, he did have a 100-yard game week 8 last year. But yeah, Juju's probably my biggest buy this offseason if anybody is moving on from him. Again, young guy, been productive, historically productive for his age as a 21-year-old rookie. Say what you will about, he was with Antonio Brown and that freed things up for him. Sure, I'm sure it did. I'm not doubting that, but I think he's a talented, skilled guy. And, he just missed a bigger day too. He dropped one touchdown and had another one that Ben didn't see him on a slant that would have been a second touchdown or third touchdown if he caught the other one. So he just missed a monster day.
I mean, sitting there and looking at the situations going on, I mean, there's just so many buys that I want to get a hold of that kind of suck this week. I mean, one was like Laquan Treadwell, who went 2 for 2, finished up with 9.1 fantasy points, right? He's a buy, right?
All day.
Laquan Treadwell has these weeks, and it's actually insane. You know, he reminds me of like an Alfred Morris, but not as successful, like an unsuccessful version of Alfred Morris, like the exact opposite narrative, but still pops up from time to time. I don't know. What about Kiki Kuti? Because you were probably watching the Cincy game. What are you thinking about Kiki Kuti, man? Like, he kind of disappointed, in my opinion. Hit 5 catches, still put up, 44 yards or so?
Yeah, he disappointed, I think. I think Brandon Cooks was definitely far and away the top option for Watson. And Watson also was looking at the tight end position a lot today to varying degrees of success. So once Hopkins comes back, I don't think he's coming back. If Fuller comes back next year, which it remains to be seen whether he does or not, I don't know. I don't know that I trust Kuti as there's no way they go into 2021 with Kiki Kuti as their top receiver, I guess, with Brandon Cooks. But
and then they also have Cobb there too. So but Cobb plays the slot just like Kuti does.
Yeah. I'm not super interested in him. I think the team likes Cobb more than Kuti. We saw that when Cobb was healthy, he was playing over Kiki. So I'm just not super interested in him personally.
Dez Bryant got a tutty. What about him?
That's right. This is like 2015. You got Dalton going off, David Johnson, throw Dez Bryant in there. And back-to-back weeks of touchdowns for him. I think he only had like 8 yards, didn't he?
It's brutal. So it's something like looking at like, oh man, so Steffi Smalls is part of our group over there at Fantasy Intervention. And I felt so bad for it because right off the bat, the Ravens just went out and destroyed him. Like they absolutely destroyed him. But then to have the salt in the wound, they threw a touchdown to Dez Bryant. And that just must have crushed your soul being a Giants fan. I mean, absolutely terrible. If you see me fidgeting, by the way, I don't have my normal headset because I lost it while traveling back and forth between people's houses over the holiday break. So I'm constantly fidgeting with my earpiece. I hope it's not making too much noise. Anyways, let me dive into Tyler Lockett, who got shut down in this game. Tyler Lockett's like on and off, man. He's a hot commodity. Some weeks he's, off. Other weeks, like, you can't really know when he's going to go off because it's all based off of, the coaching scheme. Mm-hmm. So what are you doing with Tyler Lockett?
I mean, he would be a piece I'd be looking to move if somebody's going to properly value him. I think it's going to be difficult to, he's one of the players like almost like an Adam Thielen that is probably going to be difficult to return the value on them that makes sense to move them. So like Lockett on one of my teams is like I think he's like my probably third best receiver, and I'm fine with him as my wide receiver 3, plugging him in there, knowing some weeks will boom, some weeks will bust, but he's one of my flex options. If he's my first or second receiver I'm relying on, yeah, I'd be a little, he's not the type of guy I want to throw in there with confidence each week. So I'd be looking, I'd be open to moving him, but I'm not necessarily looking to move on from him at any cost. If someone's going to lowball me, I'll just hold on to him. I mean, he is a talented receiver tethered to Russell Wilson, so.
Yeah, you might have missed your sell window, you know, to an extent. Yep. Like I sat there, I sold him, I believe, at the peak of his value right before the playoffs hit, and I got back Michael Pittman and a first-round pick and a third-round pick. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is for a rebuilding team to an extent, a team that's on the up and up, but still, you know, rebuilding. So I think that if that's the case, you know, like make sure you take what you can get before you lose all value on him. So if you can go out there and get a guy like Michael Pittman in a first round pick or, you know, and I think that's a stretch if you can now because of his downtick. But if you can get a first round pick for Lockett, dude, take it.
Would you rather, I think I know your answer, but would you rather have Lockett or Cooper Kupp?
Cooper Kupp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not even relatively close for me. I mean, I'm considering Brandon Cooks over Tyler Lockett at this point because Brandon Cooks is going to be the number one in that offense and potentially once again, one of the only receivers because of the fact the Texans don't have cap space and they don't have any draft picks. Right. So I might even take Brandon Cooks over Lockett. He's the only option on that offense.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a good example though of like that's, But like Brandon Cooks isn't a player I'm trading Lockett for straight up. Even if I think I would rather have Cooks, that to me, like, are you still making that trade one for one potentially?
Or if I have Lockett or if I have Cooks?
If you have Lockett, are you moving him straight up for Cooks if you personally prefer Cooks? Like,
no, I would probably need a late second round pick just because the value, the name value.
That's what I'm saying. It's like that feels like even if that's a player I'm more comfortable with, that feels like I'm selling a little too low.
I would even take
on top of that.
I might even take a third round pick. If it's a high third, I might take a high third round pick just to, you know, throw in with that. And I know like you don't want to do things sometimes, like, you know, it feels gross, but trades should feel gross in some cases. If they're competitive trades, they shouldn't feel good all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, they should make your stomach turn a little bit. They should make you like, dude, I don't really want to do this, but I think it's the right thing to do. So just keep that in mind. Like when you're going out there and you're making trades, like you shouldn't be like, oh, I love this trade every single time. You know, like trades should be competitive.
Yep.
All right. So let's go ahead and dive over to tight end since we're sitting there talking about Brandon Cooks and, you know, Deshaun Watson's weapons. And let's talk about, you know, Darren Fells who caught a touchdown. He's 34 years old. He'll be out of town, right? So Jordan Akins kind of disappointed to an extent, but tight ends disappoint from time to time. Yep. Is there anybody on this roster or at the tight end position that you can actually see, you know, seeing an uptick? Like, is Jordan Akins going to be a guy next year? Is somebody like, God, what's his name? The third string guy.
Warren.
Yeah, is Warren, Cahill Warren going to be that next guy up?
I'll be completely honest. I don't know a lot about Warren, like, as a prospect, but somehow he's stashed on so many of my teams. And I've been holding on to him. I think it's interesting though, like if it's not going to be Fells, you're going to want to try to get Deshaun Watson's top tight end at the position. Again, like you said, Fells hasn't been a tight end one all season long, week in and week out, consistent by no means. But Watson looks to the tight end. You mentioned that they lack cap space, they lack many draft picks to replenish their pass catchers. So I think whether it's Akins that's starting there next year, whether it's Waring, whoever it may be. I mean, Akins isn't really young either. He's like 28, so he'll be 29 next year to start the season. So I guess Waring would be like your prospect pick maybe. What do you think?
Man, it makes it very interesting. Warren, you know, was a decent athlete throughout college and whatnot. So he's somebody that I like. I think that he could end up performing, you know, moving forward, but I think the Akins is the tight end to own in this offense, at least for now, and then stash Warren just in case, you know, something does happen to Akins. But sitting there and looking, you know, just at his profile, Warren's profile alone, it makes sense as to why people are stashing him all the way across the board. His spark X score is 70th percentile. I mean, 4.67 40-yard dash, which is very good for a tight end. You know, sitting there weighing in at 252, 6'5", very, very solid overall. He's third round draft pick, so he has the draft capital. You know, he didn't go to a great college with San Diego State, but even with that being said, he was utilized all right. Like, he wasn't great. So he's somebody that we have to see more of before I want to invest. Like, I don't want to go out and trade for him or anything like that, but if he's sitting on your waiver wires, some of these tight ends just, they tend to break out. you know, in their third or fourth year. And it's not something that happens that often. And even when it does, it's only for a couple of years. But if you can get some weeks where, hey, maybe you have bye weeks, or maybe you're starting a guy like Jared Cooks or something like that moving forward, like, hey, he can fill in certain weeks and being a sexy option for a backup tight end. Do I think he's ever going to be a tight end one? No.
And you mentioned like the spark score and some of that like athletic profile. I feel like tight end is the position that if I'm taking flyers on guys, I guess technically any position, if I'm looking for bench stashes, I'm looking for athletes, but especially at tight end, because for them to be fantasy relevant, like, you know, I don't really care if the tight end's a great blocker. I actually don't want them to be a great blocker. I want them to be used as the pass catcher. So I look for guys that have an extremely athletic profile, that profile more as the pass catching option, that maybe they have another tight end that they use more for blocking downs and things like that. So Warren would kind of fit the bill for that for me, if I'm looking to stash somebody deep stash.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Another stash that I want to talk about is Jacob Hollister. He only had two receptions, put up 9.7 fantasy points this week. Jake Hollister looks like he's going to be the guy moving forward for 2021 for the Seattle Seahawks. And I almost dropped him a couple weeks ago. He ended up scoring a touchdown. I'm glad that I didn't. Scored again this week. So is Jacob Hollister, is he somebody that you want to get behind? Like, have you looked into him at all?
I have him rostered in a couple places. It's so hard to say what to do with tight ends, because tight end like really sucks after the top few guys there. So it's hard to say, like you said, if you would have dropped him, you probably would regret it some weeks. But you also, like, if he was out on your waiver wire right now, you wouldn't look at his game log and be like, oh my gosh, I've been missing out on this great production. I mean, there's a 6-week stretch there from like week 10 to 14, 5-week stretch where he was in single digits every single week, getting anywhere from 1 to 5 targets, 1 to 3 receptions. Like, he's not going out there and posting gaudy numbers that are going to catch your eye, but I don't know.
Six
targets today. Yeah. The other game this season where he had more, he had 7 targets. He, against Buffalo, he went, turned that into 5 for 60. So hey, when he gets the looks, he's producing a little bit. Yeah, he's a guy that'd be a waiver wire. I'd look to pick him up for free, close to free. Probably not a guy I'm targeting in trades, like you've mentioned, but interesting nonetheless if he's going to be the starter there.
Big shout out to Front Yard Fantasy, by the way. Front Yard Fantasy commented in. I love when you talk to Sean Watson to me, speaking about the previous comments. And dude, I mean, Sean Watson, if there's anybody that can go out and play hero ball, it's him. You know, he doesn't need all the weapons in order to make stuff work. He figures stuff out. He's one of the smartest players I've ever watched play. You know, we see all these players that you know, are able to extend plays and whatnot, but he is so intelligent when it comes to, you know, not only shifting where he runs and the playmaking ability that he has, but it also forces defenders to shift their coverage, which will end up leaving people open. So he knows where to scramble to, which is like one of the weirdest things you ever watch play. Like, for example, when you watch Lamar Jackson scramble, he scrambles to gain yards. You know, or, you know, you watch Aaron Rodgers escape pressure, Russell Wilson escape pressure. They escape pressure to allow their receivers to get open. Meanwhile, Deshaun Watson, he escapes pressure and he elongates plays to allow the defensive backs to shift because he knows where his receivers are going to be. And it's something that you don't see very often. It's like, you know, point guard like Jason Kidd, you know, looking at, you know, NBA type stuff, like he creates areas for his guys that doesn't happen a lot when it comes to quarterback play. I love Sean Watson.
Yeah. And I will say today when I was watching the game, I haven't watched as much Watson, I guess, as I would have liked. And I don't have him on any of my fantasy teams to really keep up with his production week in and week out. But I was really surprised when they threw up the graphic during today's broadcast that he was like second in the NFL in passing yards this year, first or second in touchdowns, just listing all of his accolades so far this year. Pro Bowls, say what you will about them, but he's going to get his third Pro Bowl appearance here at the age of 25 or whatever. That's extremely impressive. You know,
I don't care about your Pro Bowl accolades when Evan Ingram gets selected to a Pro Bowl.
I know.
I'm just kidding.
No, I know what you're saying.
I know what you said. You said, regardless of what you think, I got you.
Yeah, just seeing his production, I was actually surprised of how productive he's actually been as an NFL quarterback, not just a fantasy asset.
So this is actually a good week for tight ends, by the way. You know, I'm just going through it. Like, this is probably the best week I've seen so far this season for tight ends. Did you already look at the top tight end or no?
Yeah, I already did it because I roster him in a championship game. So
who was it? Watch
Irv Smith.
Yes, baby. Yeah, yes. Irv Smith Jr. smashed it today.
I feel like we talked about him a couple weeks ago, didn't we?
We always talk. Every chance I get to talk about Irv Smith Jr., I'm talking about Irv Smith Jr. I drafted him to Scott Fishbowl. I love Irv Smith Jr. Unfortunately, he's been letting me down. But, you know, hopefully they can move off this Kyle Rudolph contract and Irv Smith Jr. can actually be the guy they want him to be. You know, it takes some time. And Irv Smith Jr. is super young. I mean, he's sitting there looking at, what, 23, I believe? Yeah, he's 22 right now. He's going to be 23. Like, you know, most tight ends don't come out in the NFL until they're 22 or 23. This guy's about to go into his third year. And I mean, he's smashing faces. He had what, 2 touchdowns today? Yep. Or I'm sorry. Yeah.
2 touchdowns on Friday.
With, you know, 6 receptions, 53 yards. Like, that's killing it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, with that being said, Irv Smith Jr. is obviously a buy, but how much are you willing to overpay for him? Like, could you see yourself giving up a first round pick, early second round pick? Where are you going?
Yeah, I would. Well, if I'm thinking of acquiring a tight end, I'm just assuming for my purposes it's a tight end premium league, because in non tight end premium leagues, I just never really go get tight ends proactively. So, like in a tight end premium league,
you don't have time to check your rosters every week.
Say what?
If you're in 28 leagues and you don't have time to go check your waiver wires every week, because I need advice.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, if it was a tight end premium league, a second's not going to get them, so you would have to go to a first probably. If I was a contending team, maybe that was had an aging roster, I would give up my late first for Irv Smith, I think. I know that if Rudolph comes back, it's going to complicate things a bit. But I'm assuming if I'm a contending team, I've got a strong core in place. He's a guy that I would be willing to select, almost like he's my end of first round selection for the 2021 rookie draft, and then hold on to him and hope that a year from now, or maybe even 2 years from now, when he's, you know, an old guy at 24 years old, that he is just melting faces from the tight end position once the Kelce's and Wallers and all them move on.
So I was just about to bring this up. If I have Travis Kelce and I'm in a single tight end league, I would have no problem giving a first round pick for Irv Smith Jr. Have no problem. You know, this is something as to where, like, Kyle Pitts will be drafted in the first round of rookie drafts. He will be. It'll probably be mid first round, maybe, you know, slightly late. If he's going to fall to me, I might do it. But if he ends up getting picked and you're in your rookie draft, I would in a heartbeat offer a first round pick for Irv Smith Jr. That way, when Travis Kelce is kind of fizzling out, you now have Irv Smith Jr. in a role with a new quarterback by this time, hopefully a better quarterback than Kirk Cousins, same offensive system.
I will not sit here for Kirk Cousins slander.
I like Kirk Cousins, but
just kidding.
I'm just kidding. No, but this is something as to where, like, I think that Irv Smith Jr. could be worth a late first, even in single tight end leagues.
Yep.
So any other tight end pop out to you this week? Maybe an older guy. Right, you know, you might have finished second on the week so far.
I'm like, which old guy do you want me to pick? We've got, I mean, if depending on how you define,
that's actually
old.
Really funny. I'm looking at it.
You got Kelce, Graham, or Gronk. Like, which one do you want to talk about?
Darren Waller's old. Darren Waller's not a spring chicken. Eric Ebron's definitely not a spring chicken. God,
tight end sucks,
dude. There's 10 tight end, 12 tight end, more than that. Maybe they got over 10 points this week, and it's not even over yet. This is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I were you surprised, you know, not to go on a huge tight end tangent here, but were you surprised that Steven Anderson for the Chargers got 6 targets today and it wasn't necessarily Donald, what's his name? Parham or whatever?
I don't want to talk about it.
Parham.
I don't want to talk about it.
Because I thought it was going to be Don. I thought it was going to be Don Juan for sure.
I've been following Donald since the XFL, man. Even before that, I actually followed him slightly. Like, not huge. I wasn't big on him, but, you know, you can't ignore a size, you know, speed freak like that. And it's disappointing. Like, my soul was taken today when Anderson was the go-to guy. But, I mean, Parham didn't do terrible. Like, he still had 4 receptions on 4 targets.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. No, he had 2 receptions on 3 targets for 6.7 fantasy points. So he was still okay, but he wasn't what I hoped for. Was not at all what I hoped for. I wanted him to see that, you know, 4 receptions on 6 targets like Steven Anderson saw. It didn't happen. But that's what happens with the tight end position. That whole game, man, was absolutely bizarre. The Denver and Chargers game, just bizarre. Like, out in left field.
I didn't get to watch any of it, but I was following it closely. since I've got Herbert as my quarterback, and I was watching it go. I was watching like the play-by-play in the app, and I'm like, what is going on with this game? Like, it just seemed like it didn't have any flow. But again, no, I wasn't watching it, so I was like, am I just like missing something here in the overview of play-by-play in the sleeper app, or watching it, is it as painful as it seems like it would be?
It was it was painful. It was straight up just, I mean, because I thought this was going to be a high-scoring game. I thought it was going to be a shootout type situation again, and it just wasn't. And I understand the division rivalries, you know, they go one way or the other. I mean, it is what it is. They've already played each other so far this year, and early in the year, by the way, it was a shootout. But Melvin Gordon didn't look good. You know, like Drew Lock, obviously, you know, didn't look great, but he didn't look terrible at the same time. Justin Herbert did not look good. Keenan Allen didn't play, so all of a sudden a slot guy wasn't there. But then I expected Tyron Johnson to step up, and he didn't look good. Like, it was just,
I mean, the fact that Eckler had 10 carries for 45 yards and then saw three targets. I really thought he was going to be like 10 plus targets today with Keenan Allen out.
It's frustrating.
I really thought he was going to get 10 targets. Three targets, 10 carries, limited workload.
All right, can we talk about somebody that's in love with strippers? Because there was a defense that went off this week. The number one, wait, let me give you actually the top. Let me give you the top two defenses. Let me give you the top three out of five defenses on the week. Carolina Panthers was number one. Dallas Cowboys number two. New York Jets number three. Did anybody see that coming?
It's the NFL, the NFC beast. You know, they got two of the top three scoring defenses there for the week. Very strong division over there. But yeah, didn't see that coming. Didn't see that coming.
The Cowboys were the only defense that was up there. And normally it's the Eagles, the Giants, and the Washington football team that actually score points. Meanwhile, the Dallas Cowboys were number two. But I mean, Dwayne Haskins, man, that's really what I wanted to address. Dwayne Haskins, what the hell is going on with Dwayne Haskins?
I don't want to talk about Dwayne Haskins. I'm an Ohio State fan, so I watched a lot of Dwayne Haskins, and I thought he would translate pretty well to the NFL.
Translate?
I thought he would translate pretty well to the NFL, and I
realize how good the players were around him. Like, do you realize how good those players were around him? Do you think
Ohio State's very good? You don't have to tell me that, Chase. I know we're very good. But no, okay. So whether I thought he was going to come in and be like a Pro Bowler to rookie, no, I did. I thought he was a little raw in some areas, but to see him struggle the way he has, I did not see that coming. He seems totally lost.
I mean, he's fine throwing dollar bills. Why can't he throw a football? He can throw a dollar bill.
It's gotta be like, if there was like a Vegas, like a betting line on like next NFL quarter, like the next starting quarterback that'll be out of the NFL next, like Haskins would easily be the favorite there.
Rosen's still in the league technically.
Who?
Rosen.
Yeah, but he's not starting right now.
Oh, you said starting quarterback. Yeah. My fault.
No, you're good. I'm just thinking of like, this is a guy that's going to go from starting games in 2020 to like if he was unsigned at the end of next season, like I wouldn't be shocked. Like, gets cut by Washington, nobody really kicks the tires on him, and then we just don't hear from him. Like, I wouldn't be shocked, which is just crazy.
Very interesting to see Philip Rivers retires before Dwayne Haskins exits the league permanently.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. I wonder if he throws more interceptions in his career than he did dollar bills last Sunday night. Because
it was a birthday party, okay?
I don't care what it was. Happy birthday, dude. You just screwed up again. Taylor Heineke actually went in and operated that offense extremely efficiently, by the way. Yeah. I don't know if you actually watched that game, but like, he came in and it looked like the offense didn't miss a beat. Like, it was just moving. Like, they got inside within 10 plays. They got inside the 3-yard line.
Hey. I know we're going long here, but as we're talking about offenses not missing a beat, can we talk about Tua and Fitzpatrick quickly?
Yeah,
because I want your opinion on the situation.
I don't think we've ever seen this happen before, where a top pick comes in.
Mm-hmm.
He's not terrible, but he's not good. Like, he's obviously not good, but he's not like, you know, like, he's not Dwayne Haskins bad.
No,
right?
He's not losing. Well, his record would show he's not losing hardly any games, but like, he's not causing the Dolphins to.
No, he's like an Alex Smith type player.
Yeah, he's managing the game, keeping it close, and doing an okay job. I cannot, like wrap my brain around a head coach being like, all right, Rook, you're out. Fitzpatrick's going in. He's going to lead us to the victory. And then immediately after the game being like, yep, Tua's our starter. He'll be back this week. And it's like, you've already done this twice now. I'm not necessarily knocking Flores for it because it's working. I'm just like, I can't wrap my brain around it because we've never seen something like this.
We haven't. We've never seen this. At least, you know, in my lifetime, we've never seen this. This is something I swear. This is what's happening, okay? They're sitting there and they're saying, hey, Ryan Fitzpatrick, we know you can lose us the game. All right? So let's keep you on the sidelines, right? Because we also know you can win us games. Like, you've done it many, many times before. But we don't want to lose the game mm-hmm. out of the gates. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to do is we're going to keep ourselves within threatening range. And when we need you, we're going to call Uncle Rico in there to throw it over the mountains, you know, anytime we need some big time scores. If you lose us the game, it's no big deal because we're already losing. Meanwhile, yeah. right? Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I think I just came up with
he's probably chugging some Milwaukee's Beast, right? Like, he's over there, he's chugging Milwaukee's Beast on the sidelines, right? And he sits there and the coach is like, hey, it's the fourth quarter, man. We're losing. We need to come
he's
in.
He's just right here. Wipes it out of his beard. And he's like, all right, where's my helmet?
He's like, yo. Young buck, hold my beer and watch this, right? Hold my beer. Watch this. And he goes and wins games. And guess what? It doesn't matter because he's always had this mentality because he's always been on these one-year contracts where, hey, like, he's screwed no matter what. Mm-hmm. So he's going to go out there, and if he wins games, great. If he doesn't, then great. That's fine. That is absolutely 100% okay with the coaching staff and everything that they do. But Ryan Fitzpatrick knows his role. And yes, he's a little bit disappointed because he's a competitor when that, you know, when he doesn't get the starting job. But that's fine. Because guess what? He just gets more pissed off and he drinks more Natty's Beast, right? Or Milwaukee's Beast, I mean. And then he sits there, he goes out and he chucks the ball. And guess what? Everybody wins except for Lynn Bowden.
He reminds me of, like, because somebody said on Twitter, like, he's the closer. And so then you get, like, thinking about baseball terms. And I'm like, he would be like the, I don't know if you're a baseball fan, but he would be like the John Rocker of the NFL. Like, he is the closer for the Braves for a while and, like, was legitimately off his rocker, like, threw fastballs, threw some heat, but he was just a wild dude. And I'm like, that's what Fitzpatrick reminds me of. Like, throw him in there and you hope that he's going to close the game or, you know, win it for you in this case on Friday or Saturday, whatever it was. But, like, he also may, like, throw one into the stands and, like, throw a pick six and, like, you don't know. But you also, like,
it's the whole reason why I'm okay with this is because, like, some quarterbacks, right, they need to be taught how to be a professional quarterback, like we talked about with Dwayne Haskins, right? They need to be brought along. And some of these quarterbacks, they never get the opportunity to do it in the areas that they're not good in because they're so good in other areas that they don't know how to, you know, beat teams. They've never been down. Like, I mean, how many times has Tua have been losing and had to mount a comeback, you know, that deficit, especially with the type of athletes that he's compete with? And I'm sure that Tua is still great. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that he's not and that he's never done it.
He's overrated, but he's all right.
Get the hell out of here. All right. We're not talking about that right now. The point of the matter is, the point of the situation is the fact that Tua might need to be taught how to win games. And you can sometimes do that best while sitting on the sidelines. You know, we sat there and we've seen multiple quarterbacks who they start the season out, they don't do well, they get benched, they get put back in because of an injury, whatever the case is. They come back in, they're like, oh, all of a sudden I know how to play football. It happens. It's not that big of a deal. Sometimes this could actually be the best route. Tua might need to be taught how to go out there and how to throw downfield and how to win games. And sometimes the best way to do it is watching. So with that being said, that's going to wrap up our episode for Dynasty Happy Hour. Tyler, where can we find you, man?
Tyler? I don't know. But Taylor, you can find...
Dude, that's the second time I've done that. Or maybe I called Taylor Tyler. I don't remember.
Tyler.
Yeah. This is amazing.
Hey, I'm on Twitter @_TaylorCornell because Taylor's my name. So that's where I'll be.
I'll wear it out. Don't worry. And you guys can find me at @FF_intervention. You guys can come check out our content at any time at @JoinOurCircle_. And of course, over here at Dynasty App Error, where we are trying to figure out what's going on for next week. But guys, go check this out. The biggest thing that I want you guys to go check out is making sure that once you won your leagues, right? Because I know that's going to happen. You guys go check us out over there at trophysmack.com. Once again, that's trophysmack.com. Use promo code DHHRING and you'll actually get a free $6 ring along with the purchase of a trophy. Once again, that's trophysmack.com. Thank you guys for tuning in. We appreciate y'all. Maybe we'll see you guys in the playoffs. We don't really know yet.